Welcome. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation that is found in your bulletin. There are several announcements in the bulletin I want to call your attention to. Note particularly that the Hanging of the Green service is tonight at 6:30. But if you would like to hear some really outstanding music, do come a little bit early because the prelude will begin about 6:15, preparing our hearts for this wonderful service. Also call to your attention on December the 2nd, the service of healing, and that will begin at 6:15. There are other announcements in the bulletin. Please note next Sunday's mission fundraising lunch. If you want to support a really good cause and have some good food, please get a reservation and let them know. The price is only $6 a plate, and it is a truly worthy cause. Also notice Project Warm. There are several announcements in the newsletter. Do check your newsletter. The Project Warm will be December the 30th and the 31st, and there's a sign-up sheet outside the office, the church office, that you can sign up for. Now, I also want to call your attention to the Main Street ornaments. They're being sold by the Celebration Circle, and even if they sell out, they can order more. So that's a real keepsake that you might want to consider purchasing. That's a very worthwhile cause as well. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship as we continue to worship as the acolytes enter the church with the light of Christ. All who are able, please stand for our call to worship. The days are surely coming, says our God, when justice and righteousness will appear. God's promises are made known to us, and we will declare God's goodness and salvation. Lift up your souls in trust and praise. Open your hearts and minds to God's teachings. God's ways will be demonstrated to us, and we will seek to walk in them all our days. Render thanksgiving to God for all life's benefits. Watch and pray in holiness and abiding faith. God's mercy and steadfast love will surround us, and we will abound in love for one another.
Be seated. And I invite you to join me in the invocation. In obedience and trust, we approach you, God of the covenant. Day by day, your promises are fulfilled among us. Our redemption is drawing near. Help us to prepare ourselves and our community for Christ's coming. Equip us now to worship you with all the saints, past and present, nearby and far away. Amen. Now I invite up the Jim Dennis family and extended grandchildren to light the Advent candles.
Today we light the first Advent candle, the candle of hope, and we begin to wait. We are looking forward to something special. What can it be? When is it going to happen? When we light this candle, we watch, wait, and hope. This candle reminds us that the prophet Isaiah was longing for God's presence too. It reminds us that the people in the early church were also longing for God's presence. This candle is a symbol for our own longing for God to be with us. We wait in hope for God to surprise us and break into our lives. O God, come, travel with us through Advent. Give us courage to spread hope in the world. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is Jeremiah 33, verses 14 through 16. You can find this passage on page 903 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, the prophet tells the people of Judah that a legitimate heir, a righteous branch, will be sent by the Lord to bring justice and righteousness to the land that was then lying in ruins. Listen now for God's word to us. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Watching, waiting.
As we come to our time of prayer, let me lift up some special concerns. Please continue to be in prayer for Jay Pendergrass. To add to your prayer list, Alice Ballantyne's father, Ed Moore, who is in the rehab hospital, friends of Joanne Panasuk, who passed away this last week. Continue to be in prayer for Lisa Radcliffe, for Judy Roberts, who will have surgery this next week, for John DeLoach, who will have surgery this next week. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come to you in this holy moment of prayer as your children and as agents of your coming kingdom. Give us your Spirit today. Give us direction today. Give us your promised comfort. And we pray love and forgiveness enough to share. We thank you for the high and holy honor of continuing what your Son, Jesus Christ, began, his ministry of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We seek to be filled with it, to overflow for friend and even enemy, for the need of your grace is the same for us all. Lord, our world is so loud, so filled with distractions and entertainment, we seldom hear your still, small voice calling out. Yet we have come today expecting to meet you and to be encouraged and filled and directed. Where we have doubts, give us faith. Where we have fears, give us courage. And where we have smugness and judgment, give us humility. And where we are possessed by our possessions, give us open, generous hands and hearts. And now, Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for the world and what we have made of it. For the leaders of the nations of the world, may they be open to the influence of your Holy Spirit, and for the things that make for peace and justice. We pray for our children. Some of the young who are so cynical, open their eyes to truths deeper than despair and more lasting than the fashion of the moment. And for those who are older, cover our regrets with your grace and grant us peace and joy. And for the marriages represented here, Father, give us eyes to see each other truly, to forgive each other completely, and to start again and again and again in the lifetime covenant, where everything seems to change except the promise to grow together. We pray also for those who grieve the loss of loved ones and those who have lost their dreams and direction. We pray for this church and its outreach, its mission, its ministry. And in this moment, we lift up our silent prayers. Hear, Lord, the prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources for our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, upon these offerings. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
I'll ask the congregation to be seated, and let's just hold where you are just for a second. I'll invite the children forward in just a moment, please. Could I have the children join me at the front, please? Good morning. Are you surprised to see me doing the children's message? A little bit? Yeah, me too. Yeah. So today's message might be careful what you volunteer for. But actually, that's not the message that I have for you. The message that I have for you this morning is Happy New Year. Okay, Cecilia's looking at me like I've just gone round the bend. Because is today the first day of the year? No, January 1st is the first day of the year. That's the first day of the calendar year, but Happy New Year is still appropriate. You know why? Today is the first day of the church year, or what we call the first day of the liturgical year. And here's how that happens. Now, we know that Jesus was born. We celebrate Jesus' birth on December 25th. And we know that Jesus was born about a little more than 2,000 years ago. But I'll tell you a secret. They didn't keep very good records back then. And there was no birth certificate. So we don't exactly know the precise date. For a long time, people didn't actually celebrate Jesus' birthday. They celebrated Easter. That's a big deal. But they really didn't celebrate his birthday. Then some church leaders got together and they said, you know, for something as important as that, we really should celebrate his birthday also. Well, what day are we going to do it on? Well, they put their heads together. They went through a whole bunch of things. And they finally decided on the day that we now know as December the 25th. A little while after that, they said, man, that day is so important that we shouldn't just wake up one morning, jump out of bed, and celebrate his birthday. We really need to get ready for that. And so they put their heads together again, and they said, let's come up with a season that will help us get ready. They called that season the season of Advent. Somebody tell me what Advent means. I know that I've discussed that with some of you. Anybody know what Advent means? Advent means coming or starting or the beginning. So this is the season of Advent, the time that we get ready for Jesus' birth. You know how long Advent is? Some of my angel choir members know how long Advent is. How long? Close. 4 weeks. 4 Sundays. For the next 4 Sundays, we will be getting ready. And there's some things already in the sanctuary that tell us that this is the beginning of a new season. Can you tell me what one of them is? What's something that you see, Julia? The Christmas tree. Yeah, what else? Anybody see anything else? Maybe. Yes, the Advent candles, right. And there's another one, and there's a thing that I'm wearing. How about this? And look up at the choir. They're all wearing purple stoles, and look at the communion table. A purple cloth on that, purple bookmark. The color of the season of Advent is purple. The next season after Advent that we will celebrate is the season of Christmas. Now, when does Christmas begin? Day after Halloween, right? When all the decorations go out, right? When does Christmas begin? Christmas begins on December 25th, on Christmas Day. That is the season of Christmas. And the liturgical year and the liturgical or church calendar helps us keep track of the important events in the life of Jesus and important events in the life of the church. Over the next year, when we change seasons, you'll probably see me down here again talking about the next church season. For now, let's have a prayer, and when I get to the end, you can say amen with me. Creator God, thank you for the church leaders who long ago designed the church calendar. Help us remember the important dates in Jesus' life and in the life of the church. Help us to get ready to celebrate Jesus' birthday on Christmas Day. And all of God's children said, amen. Thank you.
Let us briefly and carefully pass the peace without passing our colds and potentially the flu. Let us pass the peace. Let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
ask you to be seated for the epistle reading. The text of my sermon today, 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, verses 9 through 13. Hear now God's word through the Apostle Paul. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I hesitate to call attention to Bill Hand, who's not feeling well today, but I think that moment has passed. We're already paying attention because you have your personal physician right by your side. So let's have a moment of prayer for Bill and who insists on staying in this worship service. I wish more people did. Let us pray. Lord, we pray the comfort of your spirit upon your child, Bill Hand, as he is feeling ill in this moment. Let us have a time of worship and praise, and we pray that you work all things together for his good and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to try something. I tried it for the third time since I've been here in almost 6 years at the early morning service, a story which I think is just hilarious. But nobody laughed. And I'm going to try it again. And it has a point. You know when I tell a funny story, it usually has a point. This one does. And here it goes. Did you hear about the primitive tribe down in the Amazon? They were discovered and they had an unusual custom. They worship the number zero. A newscaster was heard to quip, "Is nothing sacred?" Well, moving along. There is nothing more irritating than to find out something you thought was done has to be done all over again. Advent reminds me that Christ has come and Christ will come again. And it also, on a more personal level, makes me think my faith has come and my faith has to come again and again and again on a deeper and deeper and deeper level with more time, more talent, and more soul-consuming levels as I grow. Just one faith is not enough. It becomes different as I become different, as the world becomes different, as we face different things. It isn't enough to sit through boring sermons and what some of you consider unsingable songs. Faith is what happens out there 6 days of the week. This is the time when we take time out for recharging so that we can live out our faith out there. This is not our faith. This is recharging for our faith the rest of the week. I'll never forget my old, in Charleston, my old Taekwondo instructor at the very first black belt class after 6 years of study. He looked at me and he looked at all the other students there and he said, "Forget everything you've been taught. Now we can begin." And I looked around, "What? What do you mean? I've been wasting my time for 6 years?" No, the point was, we were only building a foundation to begin the real practice. And the same instructor said, "If you do not practice for 2 weeks, you are no longer a black belt." And so I'm way past being a black belt. You stray from worship and you stray from weekly praise and practice of God, and in no time you will find yourself not much different from the folks who claim to believe in nothing. Christian faith. All this time, all these devotions and all the Sunday school classes and the preachers in person and on TV and on radio. And then there's a bump in the road or there's a gap in the smooth pavement. Then your faith has to get real. Someone dies, someone gets divorced, someone betrays, someone you trusted lies or cheats or steals or bullies or abuses, and then only forgiveness
will allow you to move forward. And only God can give you the spiritual strength to forgive. Then, my faith has to leave this classroom and move out into the bumpy road. Faith in the gaps, in the ruts, in the potholes of life is not like faith here on calm Sunday mornings, is it? The time when our scripture was written, the first century, was not calm. And very oddly, I thought, if I give these folks a history lesson from the first century, they'll think, oh, that has nothing to do with me. But it's really very, very close to our time. Some of you remember that the Apostle Paul preached on Mars Hill, and he began with these words. On Mars Hill, he preached to the people of Athens, and he said this with a little bit of sarcasm and a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. Paul said he saw all the idols on every hill and pedestals and little shrines and places for offerings. And he said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious in your way." Oh, they were religious in vague, idol-worshipping, superstitious ways, but they had no faith in a living God who makes a faith that makes a dime's worth of difference in daily lives. And do we? Here's where it comes home. How about you and me? Do we seek to cross the gap between what we say we believe and what we do every day? Or is our faith much more into words and superstitions and left in the pew rack with the Bible in the hymnal when we go? Only you know the answer to, only you and God know the answer to that. Paul prays for the Thessalonians to actually become, to be holy, to grow in their faith and be ready to meet Jesus face to face. Is that our goal? Is it our goal to be more like Jesus and to grow in our faith? Or is our goal just to kind of make it to the benediction and go to lunch before the Baptist? There is a huge gap between spirituality and faith. Spirituality has come to mean in our time a vague feeling that there might be more than this. Okay, that's a good beginning. But if the more than this does not impact your life every day, what good is it to anyone? You know, if you read a little history, or if you even watch the History Channel, you'll see that the Nazis had their own spirituality. They had their own worship and rituals, just like the Roman Empire. Totalitarian states tend to develop their own sort of spirituality. Well, the Nazis had their own kind of weddings, their own sort of funerals, and a sort of a baptism, and many other odd beliefs that were unique and their own. See, spirituality by itself, if it's a good feeling or to bolster someone's power, if it's separated from the love of God and from the love of neighbor, then it can be worse than useless. It can be harmful. The content of your faith matters. Jesus taught that faith had to do with love of God and love of neighbor as you love yourself. He went even further, love of enemies. No one need fear the spirituality that Jesus taught. No one except maybe the folks who were the leaders of first century Rome. In the first century, they did fear and they did hate Christians. Why? Because Christianity challenged their self-indulgence. It created guilt when they would rather have a look the other way, wink, wink, permissiveness. Christianity pointed to a higher power than the emperor and higher good than the empire. The sacredness of the individual over the good of Rome. The Apostle Paul had been away from the Thessalonians for a while, and he knew that things were getting tough there. And he wrote that, he said, "I told you there would be trouble. There would be temptations to fall away." And so he praised them for standing firm. And he said, "I long to see you face to face and fill in the gaps." In some translations, it actually says, "and fill in the gaps to make you stronger in the weak spots and to answer the nagging questions you may have, to make you stand firm in difficult days." Kind of makes me want to schedule a face-to-face with Paul myself. Maybe you could use that. "I give thanks to God," Paul says, "because of you, and I pray for God to strengthen you so that you can stand, so that you can stand in holiness and blameless before God." Paul was worried about them keeping their faith when it would have been easier for them just to give up and become just like any other Roman citizen. Right now, in our culture, we have a kind of a worship, and it seems to me that we worship fame. Whoever is famous this 15 minutes, and pretty much whatever they are famous for. You know, what was it 2 weeks ago? The balloon boy? He was famous for the balloon boy hoax. Pretty much no matter what you're famous for. Famous is better than holiness in our culture. Celebrity, better than integrity. And our leaders often are elected more on style than on substance. It matters ever so much what your image is. And the cool image of the moment is to be built up by putting down Christian faith. Believe me, that is becoming more and more cool. The Apostle Paul said that he wanted to come to the Thessalonians and fill in their gaps and build them up where they are empty. Where are your gaps? Where are we empty? And there are all sorts of gaps that we can have, each of us individual gaps. But there is one, as we've already started to hear in the children's sermon, this is Advent. Advent is a great, big, giant, flashing question mark of a sort, because Advent makes us notice that it's been a long time since Jesus came. A long gap between Christ's coming and Christ's return. The early church expected Jesus to come back in the midst of the trouble they had, to come back in the first few years of the church's existence. Christians then, like us, were at that time they were made fun of. They were actually, during the time of Emperor Nero, soaked in oil and burnt as torches for parties outdoors at night. They were killed by gladiators for entertainment and by wild animals in the Colosseum in Rome. Christians were despised. We have historical record. One of the reasons they were despised was for valuing marriage during a time of fashionable orgies. And they did not take part in sensory overload, feasting and purging at grand drunken dinners. The very presence of Christians in the culture attempting to lead holy lives for God made Romans angry, and I imagine also guilty at the same time, because they were living lives of excess on every front. Romans ask, how dare these people live lives of discipline and moderation? How do these people live lives of integrity and honesty and keep their vows to one spouse? How do these people refuse to worship the emperor as God when everyone else is doing it? Everyone else knows it's just a fashion statement. You do it to get by. Why can't they make the same fashion statement and just say the emperor is God and go on their way? Why are they willing to die rather than do that? What is it, they ask, about these Christians that makes them take life and faith and vows so seriously? When the style in first century Rome was to take nothing seriously and to indulge themselves at every turn. Paul was so worried about the Thessalonians in this century, where an attempted life of holiness stood out as an affront and an insult to the Romans. Who were living lives of excess. What do our lives say to the culture about our faith? I like this story. I've told it before, but it's wonderful because it fits this time of year. There was a young woman who went off her freshman year to college, to a big state university, let's say. I won't say which one. Although some of you people who are fans of two big state universities are really picking at each other today. Which reminds me, my son-in-law went to Clemson and he helped us light the candle of hope. I didn't have that in my notes. But there was a young woman who went off to a big state university. And her mother was worried about her because she was a huge, serious Christian young lady. And she was the president of her MYF. She went to Salkehatchee twice a year. She led Bible studies. And her mother was worried about her because she knew that some of her professors might, you know, pick up on this. Some of the other people, her new roommate might. And she worried that she might catch grief because of her faith. And her mom asked, "Have you gotten any grief from others about your being a serious Christian? And the young girl, home for Thanksgiving, smiled and said, goodness, no, Mom, no one even suspects. That's a laugh, then a groan. There are many gaps that need filling in. What do people see from our lives? What we want to be, there is a gap between what we want to be and what we are, what is right and what is easy, what we profess to believe and what we actually act like we believe. You know, I was discussing this sermon and the ideas I had for it with my four-year-old grandson, Eli. I like to get my inspiration from anywhere I can. And I asked Eli, I said, Eli, give me your understanding. You know, tell me what you think emptiness means. And Eli said, well, a big filled bag with nothing in it. Sometimes, and the gap between what we profess to believe and what we actually act like we believe, sometimes in the middle of that, there's a big filled bag with nothing in it. The world is awash with spiritualities. I guess we could call them counterfeit spiritualities. Big bags of nothing. Just fluff. Even our Christian faith can become a counterfeit spirituality if in our lives away from this place, it makes no difference. How big is the gap? How big is the gap between here and home? We stand between two advents. Christ has come and Christ will come again. The church is called to be faithful and to grow in holiness in the meantime. And if you look at Christian history, you will see that meantime has stretched over 2,000 years. And yes, the church has built churches and missions and hospitals and orphanages and universities and schools all across the world. And we are still called individually to be outposts of God's kingdom. New men and new women with new hearts and lives becoming new by the power of God's Spirit for God's use. And that's what holiness means, to be available for God's use. And even in the first century, the Apostle Paul knew that there would be gaps between faith and practice, and there are still gaps between our faith professed and our practice. But the heart of the story is God as our loving parent, our Father, Jesus as Lord and Savior, and love one another as you love yourself and love even enemies. This is foundational in our faith and always shall be. Scripture is not shy about the truth that there are gaps in our knowledge, gaps in our understanding, and gaps in our performance of faith. It was the same Apostle Paul who said, now we see, this is in 1 Corinthians 13, now we see through a glass darkly or dimly or imperfectly. We don't understand God very well. But one day, Paul says, we shall see God face to face. And we will understand God as God has perfectly understood us. Wow. I think it's interesting that Paul to the Thessalonians says he wants to get a face-to-face. He wants to get some face time with the Thessalonians. Only then can he discern where the gaps are and help them fill them in. Yes, there are some gaps in our faith. And some that will never get filled in this lifetime. And I guess we're not that much different from the first century Christians. Even after all this time and all the faith and practice, we still see and understand some things very dimly through a dark glass we can't quite see through. I just heard about a study that was mentioned recently on NPR. A 10-year study by a behavioral psychologist, and the question that the study was to answer was this: what is a more accurate predictor of human behavior? What people have said or what people have done? Do you really need a 10-year study for that? The answer, of course, is the more accurate predictor of human behavior in the future is what they have done in the past. Even if they have said it every Sunday over a lifetime, our words on top of words on top of words can be, as my grandson Eli said, a big filled bag with nothing in it. Can be. Unless we close the gap between what we say and what we do in this in-between time, between Christ has come and Christ has come again. In the in-between time, between two Advents, we are to pursue the holiness which Paul says we were made for as new men and new women of the kingdom of God. It's Advent. Seek and yearn and ready yourself every day for that one day when we shall see God face to face. In the meantime, we are to grow, and we are given God's Spirit in order to grow. Thanks be to God. Amen. Receive this benediction, this blessing. May you be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the presence, even in this moment, of God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.